Welcome to East Meets West, episode 67.
Ooh, 67. We're getting up.
We're getting up there, Roger.
Eventually, we'll. Wow, that's an amazing tune.
My wife decided that now would be a good time to sample some tunes over there in the background. You probably couldn't hear it, but. Joining us also, although it's possible that you won't be able to hear him, is Josh Lawrence.
Can you hear me?
It's not too bad.
Although, you know, that might not be such a bad thing.
Now, if you read your Twitter, you may wonder why I called Roger an idiot right before we started recording. But you wouldn't have to wonder for very long because my wife Twittered exactly what he said. Would you call me the world's whitest guy? I didn't even hear you, actually.
And that's you called me. He did. So who is the bigger idiot?
Who is the bigger idiot? The idiot or the man who calls him an idiot?
Who's without
idiot
thinking now about what he said first.
Is it just a melanin deficiency issue?
No, it was just a way to get a rise out of you while you weren't paying, while your back was turned.
I heard world's whitest guy, but
you were totally absorbed in EQ.
What I mostly heard was Roger saying, "I'm just waiting for Tom to turn around and slap me."
And did you? No.
No.
It's very disappointing.
I'll have to try a different, phrase or adjutant. I don't know.
I was on the scene of some breaking news today. We were driving Django out to a park this morning.
Wow, you chauffeur your pet around?
Oh yeah.
Man, that only animal, the best for Django. That dog has you trained.
She sits in the back and drive faster. But
when she licks your ear? She does.
We were driving on the 580, going west, going east, and we passed the MacArthur Maze, which is where a bunch of different freeways come together and interchange and head over to the Bay Bridge and whatnot. And I looked over. Eileen was driving, and I saw this piece of a freeway had fallen down.
Oh, that's
and
not
it
good.
It looked like the kind of old pieces of freeway that are around in the area from after the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake, where they're tearing them down, you know, like they did in San Francisco to create the
where it looks like it's half.
Yeah, where they're just kind of they pulled down that freeway over there, and they've done some retrofitting where they pull down pieces of freeway. So I looked over and I was like, wow, I didn't realize there was an unused piece of freeway over there. That looks like a really bad job of bringing it down. It's just like hanging there.
It almost looks like it was just done by a bunch of slackers.
And it looks burned. There were like burn marks on it. So I punched up the radio to AM news station, and they were hitting a press conference, luckily enough, right then, explaining that a tanker truck full of gasoline had burst into flames at 3:45 in the morning and caused such a temperature rise that it melted the steel in the superstructure and brought down, I don't know, 250-yard segment of the freeway, thus cutting off people coming from Sacramento heading south to San Jose. They now have to take a detour. And even worse, people coming off the Bay Bridge cannot get on 580 East, which leads out to Dublin and to 24, which takes you through the Caldecott Tunnel to Walnut Creek. So if you don't know what all that stuff means, major commuter problem starts tomorrow morning.
So that's my other question. So what's the workaround? Because I have to go on 580 East and like 580
car
East
carrying zeppelins.
580 East in a couple of weeks.
Where are you headed?
I'm headed to the valley, and I have to go through
to the valley,
Central Valley.
Oh, to Modesto.
Yes.
I'd go down and go across the San Mateo Bridge.
Ow.
Yeah. I mean, because your only other workaround is to get off the freeway as soon as you. I mean, there's lots of other workarounds, but the workaround they're recommending is to get off the freeway and then go down Grand Avenue to Northgate, take a right on Northgate. Northgate dead ends at 980, get back on 980, and then take 980 over to 580 East.
Oh. Wow.
Or even worse would be what people are doing right now, which is horrible, getting on 80 East going towards Sacramento and then getting off and doing a U-turn and trying to come back down 80 to get to 580.
So either way, I'm going to either be looping through Oakland or looping up around Sacramento or looping through the San Mateo Bridge.
I would go down to San Mateo Bridge. I think that's a lot.
Wow. That's going to add like an extra almost an hour. Ooh.
Why would that add an hour?
Just because when you go down, I have to go down.
Yeah.
And hit San Mateo, and there's always traffic as soon as they get off.
Oh, just because of the traffic. Yeah, I mean, you're likely to add as much time trying to come off. You could come off 80. Depends on what people do. You come off the bridge, you could go right onto Grand Avenue and just take Grand Avenue back to, right in my neighborhood here and get back on the 580 there. It just depends on how many people are doing that, how backed up it's going to be on Grand.
Ow.
Anyway, that's probably not as interesting to people as the melted freeway. It really looks melted. Go to sfgate.com and look for the pictures. Also, Channel 11 here in San Francisco has, or Channel 7 here in San Francisco has video of the fire.
Wow.
It's impressive.
Frighteningly impressive, I'm sure.
It looks like a Dolly painting. Like
it's being melted.
The freeway is just, yeah.
Dolly Parton?
Yes, Dolly. Yes, exactly, Josh. Dolly Parton.
It's kind of freakish because in a way, I mean, those freeways were designed to twist with earthquakes and.
Oh yeah, they're very sturdy as far as shaking goes. But when you melt the steel, nothing's gonna stay.
Well, that's the thing though. Is just, I mean, you have to wonder how hot. I mean, the amount.
Was incredibly hot.
Did they say the 200-foot flames or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you look at the video, it's shooting way up into the sky. Check it out. There's a good shot of it right there with the section of the freeway just kind of flopped over like it just dripped down the side of the other piece of freeway that it fell on. Now, what they're hoping, the connector that goes from 80 to 880, which is the Sacramento to San Jose corridor, they're hoping they can clear all this rubble, shore up anything that might have been damaged there, and open that up soon. But this part that fell down is the connection of San Francisco to Walnut Creek and Dublin. Wow. That part is just going to have to be rebuilt. That's going to take months.
Wow, that's going to be a pain in the arse.
I have never seen a burnt freeway, nor a melted freeway.
Well, now you have, and you can tell your grandkids about it.
It was there.
I
remember where I was. Anyway, pretty...
You could take credit for it if you want.
Pretty impressive stuff.
It's actually kind of the other thing. What worries me more is the fact that the tanker truck just kind of
burst into flames. Yeah.
Because you know how many of those roll through? Not just your neighborhood, my neighborhood, everyone's just to get to, like, even people, who live within like 3 miles of a gas. You're invariably going to run into one of those tankers.
The latest reports suggest that he was traveling at too high of a speed and overturned and hit into a guardrail and crashed, and that's what led to the crash. Once you get that much speed and fuel and
you'd think
mixed together, it's not unthinkable that something could explode.
You'd think at this point they would design kind of a self-sealing, like they do for airplanes, where it's literally there's like a liquid rubber in between the...
Yeah. This is so unusual that I think safe driving pretty much protects anything bad from happening for the most part.
It will be interesting to see the fallout from this is whether or not you'll see people say, oh, there needs to be a review of the standards in shipping hazardous material and a review in the issuing of license.
Second one is going to be the first one because it sounds definitely like it was the driver's fault.
Because there's a lot of other things. I mean, people are there's hazardous material. There's especially when you see large tanker trucks are carrying flammable that might not be gasoline, but either liquid propane or something. That's all that stuff.
There's a whole guidebook on hazmat that identifies what those placards mean, and all the firefighters and emergency response people have to carry
that. Did you learn that in your first responder course?
Yeah, they all have to carry that in the truck. And the rule for ambulance and EMTs, as far as a hazardous materials incident, is stay away.
Wow. So do you have to wait for the paramedics or firemen to wash?
They say you want the incident to be able to be covered by your thumb. That's how far away you want to be until the firefighters and the hazmat teams tell you it's safe to come.
What do they
closer.
Normally do? They just wash everything down, or how do they? They localize it. I guess not.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what got spilled.
That's part of your advanced training.
That's hazmat. Yeah, that's a hazmat.
Is that what you get to graduate to when you're done?
No. I'm not going to do any hazmat training.
First responder hazmat team. Done. You get to rappel out of a helicopter.
We should mention that there was no one hurt except for the driver. Nobody else was on that section of bridge when it collapsed. No one went peeling in after him.
Yeah, they were really lucky. And
the driver actually went to a nearby gas station and called a cab, and then had the cab take him to the hospital.
Interesting.
Now, why he didn't just call 911 and have an ambulance come
Maybe
and get him, I'm not sure.
Maybe he didn't want to kind of explain everything to the authorities.
Didn't you have a conspiracy theory about that, Roger?
Oh, you mean about the hooker getting flung from the cab of the truck during the accident?
There's no evidence of anything like that.
Until they find her.
I think the I think
the insinuation is
I think
there.
More
That's
likely is he panicked and didn't think
in what he did.
He probably didn't think he could afford an ambulance.
I think he was just I was in shock. I don't think he was thinking.
I'm sure not. He had second degree burns on him.
I think he was totally thinking, "Oh, I think I need to go to the hospital," and he was doing what most people would do when they need to get to the hospital. But I mean, oftentimes,
I'll take my truck. Oh, wait, it's got 200 feet of flames shooting out of it.
But
I guess I'll call a cab.
But think about it. Normally, if like, oh, okay, I need to get to the hospital, you get your wife or your buddy or neighbor to drive you to the hospital, right? The first thing
you call for an ambulance if you need to go to the hospital.
When's the last time you went to the emergency?
I've never gone to the emergency room since college.
Every time I've been or I had to take someone to the emergency room, because someone's like, hey, can you take me to the emergency room? They never say call 911 because everyone just has this kind of understanding that
if I can get up and move, then I don't need an ambulance.
An ambulance is expensive.
Yeah. You know what? Call 911.
And I'm not saying what he did was correct, but I'm just giving you the rationale.
You should just play it safe. Call 911. Because if you try to get yourself there or take your buddy there, who knows what could happen.
Wrong turn.
Unless it's a really minor injury. But
maybe he didn't think it was that major.
Yeah, I've just got second degree burns from a truck that's shooting flames 200 feet high. How
would he know until the doctor looked him over and said,
he wouldn't know that he just came out of a truck that was shooting flames 200 feet in the air? That's called the mechanism of injury. It's pretty significant.
Yeah, but like I said, he was
Roger
in
does
shock.
That every week.
Right?
Yeah, that part is probably true.
I
was not thinking clearly.
I understand
clearly.
That
the gas station attendant is the one who should have called 911 and said,
like,
dude,
Dante's
you need an
infernal.
Ambulance. Yeah.
But he was also like, I'm okay. I'm walking. I can just get to the hospital. I mean, I don't want to make a big...
Yeah, you're right. The guy was totally not thinking straight. I mean, at that point? So I think the gas station attendant should have called an ambulance. Should have said, look, buddy, you need an ambulance.
Maybe just... Yeah.
Maybe just didn't want to get involved.
Yeah.
I just don't want to get involved with this. That's usually the case with
roller derby.
Oh yes, give
I
us
went
the
to go see roller derby. It was
Who did
awesome.
You see?
The Bay Area Bombers versus I don't know what the other team was.
You don't even know who the vanquished
Roger.
Did. Bay Area win.
Yes.
Okay. Who and you don't know the vanquished team?
Yeah, that's
it was something. Right? It was something that something demonic related, like devils or something like that.
Devils.
I think they're up from Sacramento or the North Bay. It was actually a really fun game. I was telling Patrick it combined all the theatrics of WWE with the action sport of rollerball without James Caan.
Wow, an apt description.
It was fun. I was seriously. I mean,
yeah, I saw your Twitter.
It rocks.
You couldn't
how often
go to sleep.
Does it happen?
That was their first game, I think, that they played this season.
Is it a game or a match?
It's a match, but it's an event. It's a lot of things.
Uh huh.
It's fun.
It's a lot of things to a lot of people.
It's a lot of things, and it's spelled F-U-N.
Yes, it is. Right. You laugh,
you
but if you
I
ever,
don't laugh,
are
no.
Are you going to go regularly now, Roger?
I don't know if that team won't come back and play in the area until August. So they'll be playing in the East Bay, North Bay, Sacramento, San Diego. Oh, no, the opposing team was from San Diego, but I don't remember the name of the team. But it was great. It had, you had like the March Schott like character, who was...
The owner of the team?
Yeah, she was the manager of the team, and she would, like, when the referees weren't looking, she would go in and push the other team's players, off the side and stuff like that.
That's the WWE aspect of it.
But yeah. I kid you not, it's so fun. I mean, watching just the audience get into it, people are, like, screaming.
How do you win roller derby?
Well, the object of the game is you go around the circuit, right? If you can make a complete circuit, that's 1 point, like, your lead player.
Okay.
They have to make, and the objective of the other team is to block and, beat down and,
get their lead player around more often.
Yeah. Okay. So it's basically, the more, I think you have to get it without falling down. So they have to make a complete circuit without getting without falling over.
Mm-hmm.
So the objective of the opposing team is to knock them down before they can cross.
And only one person can score at a time?
I think so. That's the way it looked. I could be wrong,
mm-hmm.
but it looked like there was only one person each team was after to score. And they also do things where the other teammates will help them slingshot. Like they'll grab the hand of the player in front of them, and the player in front will swing them all the way around.
Ooh,
it's cool. It's fun.
And so then there's a little element of ice dancing.
No, more like ice skating.
Do you feel like there's a teen market movie in the works now?
Because we can't really hear you with that mic, you've got to shove it right up your kisser.
But, that's so
dirty. Do you
dirty.
Think there's a teen movie in the works, Roger?
I don't know, but they already redid Roller Bar and that flopped. But I highly encourage anyone who has a roller derby team, just go watch a game because it's so much fun. It's much, it has to be a lot like when wrestling, before it became the WWF, WWE, like, big name stuff, was local, where you had all your kind of colorful characters that got in the ring, and people would buy popcorn and bring their families, and it's just like a night of entertainment. It was totally fun. Kids had little signs running around, and they had a little cheering team, and one guy with a luchador mask on sitting in the back yelling, hey, get off the ring, you suck, and stuff like that. It's fun. Lots of fun.
Well, cool. Shall we get a few comments in?
Yes. Oh, let's start with the new people. Isn't there like one at the bottom?
Let me see here.
Forgive me if I don't remember your name.
There's the one at the bottom. I'm a new listener to the podcast, James.
Oh, yes.
I found it doing a Google search on Tom Merritt after listening to a Buzz Out Loud session, bol.cnet.com. It's been fun listening to the backlogged episodes. Episode 13 makes me cringe. That's the evil episode, if you haven't
listened to. Yes. That's when we tried to summon something.
We tried to use my old Dell desktop with the single 500 gigabyte hard drive in a single hard drive RAID array, and for some reason that configuration makes Audacity just mess up when it tries to record.
I think it merely aligns the planets and puts your totems in sync.
Could
your
be
chakras.
Evil.
Chakras,
could just be simple evil.
Chaka.
He said he also loved the special video holiday podcast.
Hey, I want to see that. Oh, wait, I did see that one.
My primary reason for writing is that I was checking my calendar for random holidays, and today, April 25th, is East Meets West Day.
Woohoo!
Now, I knew you guys were growing in popularity and all, but having your own holiday? Awesome. How should one celebrate East Meets West Day other than listening to your favorite East Meets West podcasts?
Go to a hamburger joint run by Asian people.
Find someone, if you're Asian, someone from America who's white. For the West, don't you think?
Okay.
I mean, you could find just a white person, but they could be like from Italy or something. That's not really, I guess that's Western Europe. Okay, just find a white person. and then if you're white, find an Asian person. If you're neither white nor Asian, then just find whatever you want.
Find both and hold hands.
And then get in an argument.
Yes.
While holding hands.
Yes, that's even better. Or you could just get one of those. There's a caller from Sweden that you put up at the last. I thought was kind of cool.
Well, hold on. We haven't finished James from Vineland, New Jersey.
You're impatient, Roger.
I'm not impatient. I'm merely enthusiastic.
A couple of random thoughts. I'm totally looking forward to colonizing Earth 2.0.
Hey, wait a minute.
That new planet that they discovered.
Oh,
orbiting, Glies, whatever.
You know what? Until they actually put a probe on it, I'm not buying nothing they say.
Well,
you're not buying
any
land
now, so when I'm like 70, I'll know.
And if it ends up looking like that New Earth on that sci-fi series they had on NBC, no, I'm not going on that because that planet was freaky.
It
looked a lot like Vancouver.
Thanks for expounding on the evils of ramen noodles. Always knew they were super high in sodium, but I hadn't heard about the whole deep fried preparation process. I am still in the search for a good replacement, as there aren't any Asian markets around in
Vineland. You can actually still just get away with regular pasta. Just get like angel hair pasta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get the big, you can use the wide noodle stuff, but chalfan is, especially the wide noodles, I think it's made out of
Dad used to go on business trips to Vineland, New Jersey, and he would meet with this guy who was a track star who ran a food preparation company.
Oh, cool.
I can't remember the name of it, though. I can't even remember the name of the track star.
Henry Ramen?
Noodles Rama?
No. Kevin from Wisconsin says, I'm a longtime listener since episode 33 or so, but a first-time poster.
Cool.
I discovered the East Meets West podcast by looking at either Tom or Roger's Wikipedia page. Tom, what is your opinion of the Oakland Athletics leaving Oakland for Fremont? Well,
oh yeah, I meant to ask you that.
Let me tell you. It's not a big deal.
Are you going to get a bumper sticker that says Athletics to just go?
When you think about it, when the San Francisco Giants moved from Candlestick Park, which, though technically in San Francisco, was about 5 miles south of San Francisco, when they moved from Candlestick to Pac Bell Park, which is in downtown San Francisco, they moved about 10 miles, mm-hmm. I think, 10, 12 miles. Just rough guess. The A's are going to be moving 25 miles.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much farther. They're still in the same county. They're just doing what the New York Giants football team did a long time ago. They're moving out in the suburbs to get a nicer stadium.
But are they still being going to be called the Oakland A's?
They won't answer that question. They haven't answered, yeah. I think they're going to call them the Oakland A's of Fremont or some ridiculousness
like
that.
You know why? It's because remember when the Raiders moved down to L.A.? Everyone started getting those bumper stickers that said L.A. Traders.
Yeah.
And there was just a lot of hostility. And it took, even when they got back, it took them a while to kind of re-ingratiate themselves.
Personally, it's a problem because there's no public transportation to the spot where they're going to build the stadium, at least not yet. And it's a nightmare to drive down the 880 from Oakland to Fremont. It's just always crowded, and it's going to get even worse on game days. So that's a problem for me. It's going to be great for people in San Jose, though, because they're right there, right next to Fremont. So they can just hop over and go to the games. Right now, it's a lot farther for them to go.
Hmm.
That's what I think. So thanks for asking. And then David in Gothenburg, Sweden,
yes.
Or Gothenburg. First time listener, commenter, always wanted to say that. Found the podcast through the Twit Podverse at twit.tv.
Oh, Leo's thing.
Some Google searches. Just thought I would say hi and let you know you have at least one listener in Sweden.
Cool.
So at least parts of Europe are covered in the growing East meets West empire.
Empire. I like the word. Better than just, you know, hegemony.
588-2300 Empire.
But I wonder what the what's going on in Sweden this time of year. Events, cultural events, fun stuff.
Yeah, it's the thaw, right? It would be getting into spring and
what happens during
things
the
warming up. Well, the snow melts for one thing.
Well, I know, but what?
I don't know. I'm just thinking it's probably thawing there around this time.
They pull out the boats. Put little inflatable dingies under each tire on the Volvo.
Yes, that's what they do.
I know, I'm making all the stereotypical Swedish jokes.
Yep, yeah, it's okay to make jokes about white people, isn't it? All right, I like what Rodrigo did here on the forums or the comments on the blog posting. He posed quick and easy questions, and then a bunch of other people jumped in and gave their answers to them.
Oh, so they followed his thing up with
their own answers. So let's go through Rodrigo's question,
yes.
And then Josh and Roger make your answers. Alex Rodriguez or Barry Bonds?
Barry Bonds.
Yeah, Bonds.
Alex Rodriguez.
Ugh.
No, I'm just kidding. Barry Bonds. Number two, MacBook Pro or Dell XPS M1710?
MacBook Pro.
Depends on what you want to do. If you want a game, go with the Dell. If you don't, go with the Mac.
You can get Boot Camp and
just
have the
pick
games
one
on the MacBook
without any
Pro,
without any like bowing to professional
Dell,
responsible
get the Dell,
answers.
Get the Dell.
Oh, ridiculous!
MacBook Pro, HD DVD or Blu-ray?
Yeah, I'm
DVD.
Both of them for now.
HD
DVD.
Yeah, probably
HD DVD. California or Illinois?
California.
I thought you were going to say Texas.
California.
Illinois. Woo! Soccer or hockey?
Hockey.
Definitely hockey.
Hockey. San Francisco or Toronto?
Well, I'll go San Francisco right now.
I'll say Toronto because I haven't been there since I was 5.
Oakland!
Oh!
No. If I had to pick, I don't know. I've never been to Toronto, so I can't say. I guess I'd pick Toronto just because it's new. McDonald's or Burger King?
Burger King.
Actually, McDonald's food has gotten better. So McDonald's.
Yeah. Always have. Pepsi or Coke?
Coke.
Pepsi because it has a more citrusy flavor.
Coke because it's better.
Yeah.
Cats or dogs? And you've got one looking at you, so be careful how you answer.
Dogs.
I prefer dogs.
Dogs. Used to prefer cats, though.
I did too, actually.
Till Django.
Because you guys are very, very introverted fellows.
Shh. Leave me alone. Grass or turf? And I think it means artificial turf there.
Grass.
Definitely grass. Never play on turf.
Grass.
Whoever invented turf should be shot.
All right. Jayesh has his opinions. Barry Bonds, MacBook Pro, Blu-ray, California, soccer, San Francisco, Pepsi, but Diet Coke is better, dogs, and grass.
Diet Coke. Blech.
No. let's see. Timothy says, A-Rod. MacBook Pro, soccer, Northern California, And that's the only ones he answered. And then, let's see. Anybody else take a crack at him here?
I think that was it.
Punter Joe says, more interesting ruminations, guys. I've played with Twitter, but unable to convince anyone else in the real world to join me. Anyway, just to get a taste of Twitter, I needed to add someone, so I chose a few public strangers like you two. It feels a bit like stalking and makes me uncomfortable because I'm really not nosy by nature. I really don't want to know what anyone has for breakfast, what night spot they're heading out to, or if they're going to be late for work because they have to go fill a prescription for that embarrassing condition. I'm not saying it shouldn't be posted because it may be of interest to actual people and any potential social partners in the Twitterer's real life. Would it be handy to have two levels to Twitter, personal, invite only, and public? I, for one, would like to keep updated on public pronouncements, like when a podcast is being uploaded, but not be privy to personal details that are none of my business,
like,
and posters would have fewer moments of candor regret.
I actually agree with him.
Yeah. That'd be neat.
Well, you know, if you if you make your posting at someone, then only people who are mutually befriended can see that.
The thing is, I don't agree with him on the two-level Twitter, but I agree with him on the whole nature. It's the thing with Twitter is it's really designed for
Roger's sneezing right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's designed to make Roger allergic.
It's weird because it's really a form of microblogging. But at the same time, it's people use it in such a wildly... Like, for me, I don't put a lot of personal stuff on there. If you ever read my Twitters, they're very general.
Enigmatic, even.
I purposely do that because I don't think people care if I'm, like, you know, taking a crap or something, right? That's not stuff you would want to...
that's what we want to see on your Twitter.
I don't know of anybody... I haven't seen too many people put taking a crap up on their Twitter.
People will say, how is that any different than I'm eating or I'm going to the bank, I'm going this?
It's a little more.
It's
private.
Different.
Yeah.
It is. If I call home, Eileen doesn't say, I say, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I just got back from the gym or I went to the bank. She doesn't say, oh, I just got done taking a crap. It's normal to say, oh, I'm headed off to do this or I'm having some coffee or eating some biscuits, bagels, whatever.
For your social sensibilities, it might be so, but for not everyone.
So you're saying in your social circles,
I think it's a 90%er there, though.
I think
it's a 90%er in all socials about taking a crap too often.
Just say, hey, I'm taking a dump right now.
I want you to start writing that. I want you to start documenting everything.
Yeah, you need to prove this.
I shouldn't have eaten that lunch special.
Fiber.
I'm gonna be indisposed for a couple
tie
hours.
In with your idea of a Twitter, you know, your own sub-brilliant idea.
Oh, yes, I blogged. Did you see my blog posting?
No.
About the I just went to a bathroom.com. It was like a mashup. If somebody took a Google map and then you go, every time you go to the bathroom, you post a flag of where you went to the bathroom and how it all came out. I was just making fun of the
what's wrong with that?
How crazy the social networking
is. That would be awesome. The thing is,
the thing with
social networking, depending on how you use it, it can be very kind of, it's just very cliquish. It's all my friends joining and this is the way we communicate. For other people who are trying to get, you know, trying to meet new people, it may be kind of a way. For me, like, I use MySpace a lot because there's a lot of events that have MySpace pages. Like, there's a lot of, like,
I don't know, roller derby.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, no, that's how I found out about it.
I know.
Hey, why? Don't make fun of me. I could kick you.
Why? We wouldn't have a podcast if we didn't make fun of each other.
That's true. But, you know, it's great, and I use it for that purpose, but I know other people, you know, use it for other things. And it's kind of weird because you often see different levels. You see the people who use it, you know, if you segmented out your social strata, right? You have your very personal friends that you just call or directly email, hey, we're going to go do this. Do you want to come along? And then you send out, hey, my you know, fraternity or my club or whatever is starting something. You put it on your MySpace and try to invite as many people as you can. For example, like
just use Evite?
Or like a dig event, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you know everyone? Right?
It's for when you want people that you don't know to show up.
Exactly. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. That makes sense.
I think that's very akin to what Punter Joe was saying about having a public and a private.
Like, he likes to know, East Meets West just got uploaded, right? Or Buzz Out Loud is uploaded. But he doesn't care that I'm having some coffee eating.
I don't
wheat
care
thins.
If you're having coffee.
Yeah. I think the better Twitters are the ones that are just observational, really.
Yeah.
I just killed a man today. Like that?
My best of friends helped me bury him. If you want to know more about I Just Went to the Bathroom.com, go to subbrilliant.com/blog.
Remember, flush nice, when you're done. Nice. Please.
In. Yes. And finally, Ross C. Brown. Hey, it's been a while since I listened, and I must say my 3-episode catch-up this morning was rather nice. I hear via Twitter that you guys are having transport issues. SF is really not an ideal place for elevated highways, especially ones made of steel, which share similar structural qualities as milk chocolate. I find it ironic that they are adding extra trains to BART, given that I hear it is notoriously underused anyway. Now, I have to say, probably from Ross's perspective, which is in Scotland, it is seriously underused, but BART is actually one of the more used transportation options.
It is the most used in the region. And the reason why you can tell is because every time BART goes on strike, the whole Bay Area grinds to a halt.
Yeah. So BART is actually very well used.
In fact, the biggest problem is really kind of accommodating people who want to take BART, but they don't have the parking spots or they don't have enough trains to accommodate the schedules. I think, you know, and that's an issue of high demand. I mean, I can tell you from personal experience, there's a lot of people who would personally not like to drive because you sit in traffic for like 45 minutes and then you drive another 30 minutes and then you're at work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm on Twitter and I'm following you, Evil Laugh. The problem with Twitter is that there's not a social element to it, so to speak. And that, I mean, you can't make friends or become popular on Twitter without bringing your own set.
I agree with him.
Yeah. For example, I've been Twittering for over a week now and I have one follower, as I've basically told no one that I'm on Twitter. Well, that you got to tell people you're on.
But see, I totally understand what he's saying. He's saying, like, you're using Twitter as a social networking device, but you can't even use within the Twitter to socially network with other people.
Well, originally weren't the designers originally aiming for it just to be kind of a way to alert your friends, like,
yeah,
hey,
like dodgeball.
Now I'm here, come and meet me, and then it seems like it's grown to, you know, much more.
But they didn't intend it to just be that, but yeah, that was sort of how they were pitching it, I think, earlier.
I'm not saying that was a bad idea. I'm just saying that's the expectation, especially with, you know, MySpace encompassing not only, you know, you have email within MySpace, you have messaging, and, you know, within an IM client within MySpace.
More importantly, Ross needs a date for the prom.
I don't know. Do they have proms in Scotland?
It's what he said. He's like, I am dateless,
you know,
for the prom. Any advice?
When I didn't go to my high school prom because I got set up on a blind date, and my date got arrested a week before prom night. So it's, you know, try to...
I got set up.
Why do you have to use quotes for it?
They didn't know I used quotes.
Actually, no. The tone of your voice gave it away. All right? Don't even play that game with me. But seriously. Hey, you know what? Does Craigslist have a Scotland?
Possibly.
Try Craigslist. There's a lot of freaks on it, but once you sift...
That's good advice.
Well, once you sift through
a place with a lot of freaks.
Would you let me finish?
No freaks filter.
Hey, have you tried Craigslist personals?
No.
So hush.
Such strong language.
You have to work your way through the 100 or so, you know, chaffy people to get to the one kernel
chaffy.
That will
chaffy.
The
like
wheat
that
from the
a,
chaff.
Adjective.
All right. And with that religious metaphor, we end.
It's not a religious.
This
it's a Midwest metaphor. Midwest.
It's from the Bible, you know.
Yeah.
You might want to read it sometime.
No, I don't.
Yeah, heathen.
I don't like sequels.
All right, see you later.